Good morning, church. God is good. Amen. And all the time? All right. So, how are you guys feeling today? Yeah? Great. So, welcome to Haven Church. Anybody new today? All right. Awesome. Welcome, welcome. Welcome you folks online. I know we're streaming out there. What's our online community now, Jack? I don't know.
We never know. Never know.
I don't know. We started this thing out, you know, just for Jack's dad because he was like, you know, had knee surgery, couldn't get up, and all of a sudden it kind of branched out. So it's just awesome how God reaches out through technology. And
Linda and Ron Seward, you can say hi to Linda.
Oh, yeah, Linda. Yeah, Linda used to play tambourine for
all
us.
All I know is somebody watches every day from California, every week from California. Good morning.
Hoorah, California. I was stationed out there for a little while, fixing helicopters for us. Now I'm here playing piano for you guys. I don't know. Funny how God takes us different places. But so everybody say hoorah. Hoorah. All right, let's stand up. Praise God today. Sorry for the Marine Corps thing, but... All right, let's go, guys. One, two, three, four. Though the tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. Though my tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord.
In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Through the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord.
Joy.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, it faith arise in you. When I cannot feel your hand in mine, it faith arise in you. God of mercy and love, I will praise you, Lord.
How you shine with glory, Lord of light, I feel alive in you. In your presence now I come alive, I am alive with you. There is strength when I say, I will praise you, Lord.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. Joy of the Lord is my strength.
Joy.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah.
When sorrow comes my way, you're the shield around me. Always you remain my courage in the fight. I hear you call my name, Jesus, I am coming. Walking on the waves, reaching for your light.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord is my strength.
Above you, there's no other.
consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You're the good shepherd forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Our God, almighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquer death forever. In victory you reign.
One more time, let's hear that chorus. Here we go.
Our God, almighty warrior. You're a consuming fire. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name. Jesus, the great commander. You conquer death forever. In victory you reign. We triumph in your name.
Lord God, we give you praise that you are a mighty warrior, and we give you praise that you are here today in your Holy Spirit. Fill this room and fill each one of us with that power. In Christ's mighty name, we all pray. Amen. All right, what I want you to right now to do, just say hi to someone, and then at this time, our kids can leave for our Shoreline Sunday School ministry at the same time. All right, good morning. How you feeling? Good? All right. So glad to have you all here today, whether you're here in the flesh, that's you guys, or if you're watching online, we're just thrilled to have everyone here. Bobby Brickner is our Sunday school leader, and so she's going to go ahead, and our children's ministry, she's going to go ahead and share something. During the rest of the year, you can stand up, Bobby. During the rest of the year, our Sunday school teachers, really every time during church service, they're out with our kids. Many of you are in the process of taking them there and getting them there, and then we have a lot of changes. So we have some changes because some need a break. Obviously, anybody ever done children's ministry? You need a break every once in a while. So we want to give them an opportunity during the summer. We also have another one who's taking a break because she's having a baby. So anybody having a baby? Okay, nobody's hand? Anybody want to have? Okay, there. So Bobby's going to share just some need that we have some people to fill in for the summer. If you feel led to do that, she's going to share something briefly with you.
One of the most important parts of our ministry is our children. Roughly 25% of Haven's population is our kids. So every Sunday when that splash screen goes up, Sunday school, we have over 40 kids who leave the sanctuary and go to the Sunday school classrooms. We also have a dozen teachers who make that happen. Some of them are going to be needing breaks over the summer, and we are going to have a maternity leave. And we've got a couple of teachers who would like to rotate out and actually get to spend the next year in the sanctuary worshiping with everyone else. So we are in need of Sunday school teachers. The most immediate need is this summer. One or two Sundays you could help out this summer and take a Sunday school class. We have the curriculum, we have the lesson plans, we have all of the material, and I'll go over it with anyone who's interested to make it an easy process for you. I'm going to send around a clipboard so that you can sign up, give me your contact information, and I can work with you. But also, if you're interested in working in this ministry area, working with our kids on a regular basis starting in the fall, I would love to talk with you about that as well. So put your information here on the clipboard, and I will be getting back in touch with you. Thanks.
Thanks, Bobby. And one of the things that Bobby shared is just one of the things that we find special is to be able to have a number of different people that are willing to do that, so not everybody misses worship all the time. It is a sacrifice and a good connection. So if you're willing to do that, please go ahead. And all you have to do is be willing. The rest of the stuff runs itself, and many of you have several gifts from that. Keeping with that same theme, coming up is our Vacation Bible School. You can see June 20th through the 24th. We will have our Vacation Bible School, and we have some. We're going to be in Egypt, Joseph's journey, and there is some items that if you want to donate, feel free to donate during that week for different things. And there's a collection back there if you'd like to go ahead and give that. If you'd like to donate some finances to that, you can also specify that, whatever. And if you'd like to donate time, you can see Melissa Cohen's information there, and also ways that you can register your kids online. We get as many as you want. Tell the neighborhood kids, that's what it's here for. Last year, they had they did Everest, and we had a great time here, and the kids really connected, had an awesome time. So did the adults. So please mark your calendars, number one, for those days, the 20th through the 24th. Tell all the kids you know, and also donations would be great to have as well. Dining for Women will be this June 7th. The next event, you can read the information about that. Every year we have a baptismal service down at Northeast Park. As I said last week, the water table is higher than it's ever been at this point because of all this rain. But next week, not next week, but June 26th, toward the end of the month, we will be going ahead and we will be having an opportunity for people to sign up for that. Now, if the Spirit leads that day and you showed up in your Sunday best and you're like, I want to go ahead and get in, awesome. What we'll do, we'll have church. As soon as we finish church, we'll head down to the park and I'll get in and we'll do a good old Dunkin'. And that's for who? People who want to make that profession of faith maybe for the first time in their lives, and then for others who may want to reaffirm their baptism that they may have had as a child or at some other point in their life, and that Christ is really alive and connecting to your life. So you want to go ahead and do that as a connection, as a symbol of that. We can do that as well. We usually have about 20-some people that go ahead through that, and it's a great opportunity for that baptism. So June 26th. And let's see what else. Our baby bottle drive, we've been collecting those for the pregnancy center. If you need them, I think there's some still out there, correct? And you can go ahead, fill them up with whatever you want to, change, money, check, whatever, and then we'll bring them back on the 5th, which is coming very, very close, believe it or not. June will be here. And so we'll collect them and give them back to support the pregnancy center. You can also see items for the Paris Foundation, and you can see the information. Hopefully you have those inserts there, and our next time to serve at the Paris Foundation is June 19th, so we'll be able to go ahead and connect with that. All right? So hopefully, and that's a mouthful, but hopefully everybody else can connect with those things. Lots of different opportunities to serve and connect in the church. All right, I want to go to this time of prayer. If you have prayer concerns, we'd like for you to fill them out. Or if you're watching online, go ahead and click on the website. Go ahead and connect havencc.org. And go ahead, it goes directly to our prayer coordinator, Debbie Chadwick, and she'll make sure that information gets out to us. So we have some prayers for Bill and Donna. Praise for the successful bypass surgery for Dave Stoppel. And continue prayer for recovery for him and his family and all involved. And for pain management. Stephanie has a praise, right? Stephanie, this is good stuff. Went to see multiple sclerosis specialist this past week, and she was told she has a very, very slight case of MS. So we're praising God for that, definitely. And also, she's requested prayers for Carson Sellers, who's still in the hospital and able to eat. IV only is slightly helpful. 17 and has had this issue for 5 years. Want to continue to lift him in your prayers. Also continue to lift John Campus from the YMCA in your prayers as he's working through his recovery process as well. All right? Okay, any other ones that we just need to mention really quickly? Yes, Jenny. What's her name?
Darlene.
Okay, so we want to lift her up in prayers. Anyone else? I want to make sure we've gotten everybody. All right, well, let's go join me in prayer right now, if you will. Lord God, we come to you today, and we thank you that, once again that you're an incredible God, that you're here with us and that you love us. Even the times when we're disobedient, we head certain ways and go certain directions, you are consistent and you love us no matter what. And so, God, we lifted up right now several prayers. I want to pray, number one, for this church. I want to pray for the church and its ministries. I want to pray for all of us this summer as many of us head in different directions. And it seems to be a time of upheaval, a time of change for many who are kids are home from college, kids are going away to college toward the end, some are graduating, whatever it may be, God, we just ask that your presence be there and guide those things. And so, God, as we come now, and we shared a lot of different things, may you use us to further your kingdom, and that's where we come to this point of receiving your tithe and our offerings. This time is a time where we give back some of the many blessings that you've given to us. And so, God, thank you. That's what we can say. We can just say thank you for all you've done, for all you're going to do, and for who you are each and every day of our lives. God, for those who are hurting, I ask that you just bring your presence in a powerful way. For those, God, who have no direction, I ask that you give them direction. For those who are healing from surgeries and other kinds of things, I ask that you be very, very present and bring to them exactly what they need. More importantly, God, during this time together, I ask that you bring the greatest thing, and that's your Spirit to us, because somebody here today may not know you, may not have a relationship with you, and some of us may have had a relationship, but God, something's missing, and we just need a touch from you. We need a connection with you like we've never had before. So God, just do what you do through your Spirit today and restore your church. And God, I'm going to ask now for a blessing over these gifts to do what you need to do. And to send us where you need to send and to be who you are for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So I would love for you guys to all sing this song with us. You guys want to stand up a little bit? Or a lot of bit? But that means a little bit, whatever. I'm going to change it up a little bit, guys. I'm going to sing like How Great Is Our God, just a chorus, just to kind of get that feeling. I don't know. I feel a little punchy. Yeah. I only got 3 hours sleep, but I'm feeling like God is just saying, I want to hear the congregation just kind of all come together in one heart and one voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? One more time. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Well, Fred, verse one.
Oh, Lord, my God.
Man, I'm awesome one.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power.
Savior God, to thee. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart?
Then I shall bow.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven."
Unstoppable, isn't he? Right? That's the way. That's the way to go. He's all set and creaking by. How many feel like that's the way you live life a lot of times? You're all ready. You're all set. You put on safety goggles and you're like, tweet, 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 just right by. All right. So we are in our second week of a series called Unstoppable. Last week I talked about being an unstoppable believer. Remember that? If you don't, just shake your head and make me feel good, all right? So, but we've been talking about unstoppable believer. And this week we're going to talk about something, the unstoppable church. And And so I got to tell you, I did a lot of wrestling through some stuff this week. But I want to ask you a question. When you hear Unstoppable Church, what comes to mind? I'm going to close this a little bit here, Wayne. Okay. What comes to mind when you hear Unstoppable Church? And what? Who said that? Oh, there you go, Patty. Good job. Look at you. All right. And when you hear that, there's a couple different things that I think of. I'm glad Patty thinks of that. But there's a couple things that I think of. There's one church called Yodo Full Gospel Church. Anybody ever heard of it? It is the largest church in the world in Seoul, South Korea. Yodo Full Gospel Church. It has, average attendance, 250,000 people. And they have a service every hour on the hour. You think of that, you say, wow, that's unstoppable. But then again, I hear of churches that have, in a town that have about 215 people in the whole entire town in the United States, yet they have an average attendance of 1,000 people. That means somebody's coming from somewhere, or else somebody can't count. But regardless, or it may be a church of 50 people that just has 50 people that are actively doing and serving the Word of God, believing and active in the ministry of the church. It's not about the size of the church. It's about the health and the vibrance and the ministry of the church. And then again, as Patty says, I started this church so it would be an unstoppable church. And what I've learned in my life is not everything is perfect in the world. I heard somebody once say, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it, because then it won't be. And so one of those things that we find out, we have that. So today I want to talk about what it means to be an unstoppable church. As was read to us today by June, she shared about the unstoppable church, about one of the things that an unstoppable church is, one where Jesus said, Peter, upon you I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot overcome it. And so I started to look at what are the characteristics or qualities of an unstoppable church. And I'm going to share that with you today. If you're here today, you have the bulletin. You can go ahead. You can fill in. You see there's one of those little squiggly squares up the top. If you have one of the smartphones, you can scan it. And if you scan it, you can go ahead and type stuff on Facebook, our Facebook page if you want, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But we just want you to have fun and ultimately connect to God today. All right, so here we're going to go with some of the qualities of an unstoppable church. And the first thing that I want to share with you is the term, it says right there, penetration. We must be focused. As a church, to be an unstoppable church, we must be focused. We have to be focused. And this is key in the scriptures. Several times as you look around in the Bible, it says, the key penetrates the lock. The leaven penetrates the dough and goes all through it. The salt penetrates the food, and the light penetrates the darkness. In the scripture that I have put for you from Matthew, I have this interesting verse, and it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Look at this. How many of you, what is some food? How many like salt? How many like salt on things? Raise your hand. Go ahead. How many like salt on your salt? Right? Some of you are like that. What are some things that you like salt on? French fries. Who said French fries? Okay, French fries. How many like salt on your French fries? Okay. What else? Pizza? Really? Pizza. That's interesting. What? Pretzels. Okay, anything else? Chicken, avocado. Avocado? All right, we'll take that. What else? Baked potato? What about popcorn? Oh, you forgot about that one, didn't you? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we could do some popcorn. Yeah, anything else? What about like on some green beans? Anybody like green beans? Jimmy, you even like green beans, right? All right, there you go. All right, so, but green beans. On anything. So, what does salt do when you put it on there? It makes you go, yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't it just like add that little bit? Back then also, when they were writing this, they had no refrigerators. Salt also preserved and helped stuff. Anybody ever had salt cured ham? Sounds good. Then I'm making you hungry right before you guys are like, where am I going to go eat after church now, right? So, but salt does some amazing things. It makes it better when it penetrates the food. It makes it better. Light penetrates darkness. Have you ever been someplace like when it's really, really dark? I'm not talking about dark with a little bit of light, but really, really dark. So dark that you kind of, you may be an adult, but you're like, I hear something. And now we're all spoiled because we got our phones and we flick them out and we, even if we have to do this. Right, how many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand. There you go. Some of you may be going flip, okay? So we'll get you on up there in time. But we go ahead and you look for that. We live in a time where there's rarely, it's rarely so dark we can't, we can feel the darkness. But you know, that little bit of light penetrates. Now we have light is that's diffused all over the place. It does no good. But if you bring light together into a laser form, what does it do? It could do some amazing things. We have laser surgery and laser, it can cut all kinds of metal and everything when light itself is just geared together. So what is being said here by Jesus is when he says, you are the light of the world, that you, if it's just scattered, it's still gonna, we're still gonna see dimly, but when it's laser focused, then we become the church that we need to do, to be. The purpose of the church is to go out and make the world better, a better place, through penetrating in every area of the world with the gospel. Now, the question I want to ask is, how can we be intentional about this? Because several times we're like, okay, I want to go out, but we don't know how to do that or where to do that. Sometimes it seems like amazing magnitude to begin to go out with the gospel. So how do we do this? I'm going to give you some practical reason, ways in which you can affect the gospel by and share it, not saying that you just go ahead and you just go out and beat somebody on the head with a 50-pound Bible and knock them into heaven and out of hell, but this way. Here's how you do it. Number one, find people with similar location. One of the things that we find out is we spend time with a lot of people, don't we? In your life, wherever you are, there's several different ways that we find this. How many of you have a neighbor? How many like your neighbor? All right, so that's good. You hang out with friends, those that are close to you. How many of you sit next to somebody in a classroom? You may have that. How many of you, you know, see the same person at Walmart or at the grocery store or wherever you may be? You see that same person. We form these kind of relationships on a face value. And one of the things that we need to do is to use those opportunities by being available for that. So that's the first thing. Find people with the same locations. What about people with the same interest? How many of you have a hobby? Does anybody have a hobby? Okay. One of the things that you can do, and one of the greatest tools, is like people like to spend time with each other. Find people who have similar interests because you're already connected. If you're at the gym, I know it's harder at the gym because everybody's got headphones in. But you can talk to people. Still, it's amazing. You just start moving your mouth and they pull out a headphone. You go, hey, it just happens. So you can go ahead and do that. Some of you like fishing. How many like fishing? All right. Now look, keep your hands up, people who fish. Okay, people who like that. Look, there's a group right there of people that you like. How many people know somebody who may not know about Christ that likes fishing? There's a lot of them. All right. How many like to bake? How many like to eat? We'll put you all together. It'll work awesome. That's the church at work, right? Eaters, and givers, all right? There we go. So what I'm saying is, whatever you like to do, I guarantee there is a field there of people who don't know Christ. And all you have to do is just form a relationship with them. And I'm saying, students, you may be on the countdown right now. We're about done school. But you have an opportunity to just live and connect people to Jesus. To that. Look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus did not stand on the side of the road in Jerusalem saying, repent, for I am here, and the kingdom of heaven is here. Now, repent of your sin, or I'm going to strike you down because I am Jesus. Did he? No. Did he do that? He didn't sit at the Roman Colosseum with a sign that said John 3:16. Right? Did he? Now, with a picture of Jesus with a big multicolored wig, okay? You know, not that those things are horrific or horrible, and they're decent, but what Jesus did is simply encountered those on his journey through life. Just encountered people in their journey through life. I look around this room, and I remember I had to have an x-ray or something, right, Rachel? And I encountered Rachel. I've known her for years. But through that encounter, I bear the scars for the Lord. Put me in an MRI or something. I get to see Rachel or an x-ray. And then she becomes a person who is very active in this church. Your own worship leader. I've told this story many, many times, all because somebody made me go get ice cream. That he didn't want ice cream. And here he is, our worship leader, years later. Wherever you go is an ability to go ahead and reach somebody for Christ. And how do we do that? Not with a formal plan, but I believe the church would reach more and more people if we embrace the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. I think if we exude. Sometimes, hey, with some churches, we need to exhume it, you know? But we need to share. There we go. That'll work. We need to share those fruits of the Spirit. And guess what? As I shared, I think, on my birthday the week I was really, really sick and I passed you out fruit. Sorry. You realize that now. We can only give what we've got. And if we don't have joy, if we don't have love, if we don't have the fruits of the Spirit, we can't give it. And if you ask me, one of the reasons why we have so much upheaval in the church is because we really are not in the Holy Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. We can't give what we don't have. All right? So find people with similar interests. And then find people in transition. Those with major changes in life. People who are going through changes in life are open to new things. As a matter of fact, Alvin Toffler said this: people look for islands of stability when change becomes overwhelming. Anybody ever had a time in your life where the change in life is so overwhelming that you don't know what to expect? You may have had parents die. You may have had divorce. You may have had kids go off and to college or move away. You may have had a change in a career. The relationship that you thought was going to be forever is not. So many different types of transition. It may just be the transition in you called midlife. Anybody ever gone through that? Everybody still going through it? You know, women go through menopause, men go through manopause, right? And we go through some of those things. Major transitions in life. And what are those islands? It's my hope that the church should be an island of stability in the midst of an ever-changing world. We shared last week what it takes to be a believer, an unstoppable believer, and I believe that contributes to it. And then the number four thing, we find people in tension. People in tension, going through some kind of thing, whether it's some people just going through bankruptcy or fear of losing jobs or other kinds of things, that it's just a tense part in your life. That when you have these things, when they go through those, you can impact people around you. But the problem is, I don't believe we can impact people around us unless we do a couple things. Pray for opportunities, look for opportunities, and then take advantage of opportunities. I think sometimes we pray for opportunities and then we don't look for them during our busy scheduled days. Other times we may pray and look, but when it comes down to it, we don't take advantage of it. And we have to do all those if we want to change this world and be the church that we're talking about. I want to share with you a story. It comes from one of the greatest book titles I've ever heard in my life. It's from a guy named Stan Toler. Anybody ever heard of Stan Toler? Stan Toler has written several books, and the name of this book is called God Has Never Failed Me, But He Sure Scared Me to Death a Few Times. Isn't that a great title for a book? I love it. And if you want to sit by your computer, it's on Google Books, and I was reading some of it. But he tells a story of a man named Milton Cunningham, and Milton Cunningham was a missionary who was also a businessman, and Milton Cunningham had gotten a call for business to fly from his place of business in Atlanta to Dallas. And so he went ahead and he had to hurry up. He got a seat, but it was that dreaded middle seat, okay? So he went to get on the plane, and there was a young girl who was over looking out the window, and he sat down next to her because he was hoping for the window seat. It was funny, we were kind of talking about some of that here today. But he wanted the window seat so he could just focus on work, not deal with anybody, and kind of gaze out the window if anybody else wanted anything. So what he did, he sat down, and here's this young girl there, and he sits down, and he noticed that, and just kind of looking around him, that this girl was a girl who had Down syndrome. So as he sat there, she kind of nudged him. They're waiting for the plane to load. She nudges him. She said, "Mister, did you brush your teeth this morning?" Cunningham was a little bit taken back at the question, because that's not something you usually do on a plane, is ask people if they brush their teeth, although we may need to. And he said, he looked at her and saw that she was a girl with Down syndrome and meant well, and he said, "Yes, I did brush my teeth this morning." And she said, "Good, because you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to brush your teeth." said, okay. So he sat there, started doing some more stuff. The plane's still loading, and all of a sudden she, hey, mister. Hey, mister. He turns again, and she goes, do you smoke? He said, felt a little uncomfortable. He said, no. And he said it with a little chuckle. She said, good, because smoking will make you die. He said, okay. So they went back, and the plane is still filling up, and all of a sudden she nudges him one more time. Hey, mister, do you love Jesus? And he was really caught by her simplicity, but he said, well, yes, honey, I do love Jesus. She said, good, because everyone should love Jesus. She turned and went back on her merry way. Well, as they sat there, he was still kind of hoping that you could have the other aisle seat, you know, because that's the other one that you like. But all of a sudden, as the plane was filling up, this one man came in, and he sat right down next to Milton Cunningham. Cunningham went ahead and welcomed him, said hello, and then sat there. And as he was sitting there, and the plane began to pull away from the gate, the little girl nudges him. She said, hey, mister, ask him if he brushed his teeth. Cunningham said, I don't know. She said, go ahead, ask him. So he says, excuse me, sir, my little friend here would like to know if you brushed your teeth this morning. The man kind of shocked, looked over. So she meant well and said, yes, I did. He says, yes, he did. She said, good, because you should brush your teeth. So went on, it's taxiing down the runway a little bit more, heading off a little bit more, and all of a sudden, as they're taxiing down this runway a little bit more, excuse me, I got lost my place here. That's not what it says. Where is it? Sorry. And brush your teeth. Yeah, here we go. She sits there, taxis a little bit more, goes ahead, boom, gives him a little bump to Cunningham, and he said, yes, hon. She said, ask him if he smokes. He said, I'm not going to ask. Go ahead, ask him. He says, excuse me, sir. My little friend here would once again like to know, do you smoke? He chuckled again and said, no, I don't. He says, no, he doesn't. She said, good, because you'll die. He goes ahead. So here we go. You see where this is going, right? Starts off, and the plane's getting ready to take off. She nudges Cunningham again. Ask him if he loves Jesus. Cunningham says, I can't do that. That's too personal. Keep in mind, he just asked him if he brushed his teeth and smoked. Okay? She says, ask him. Ask him now. Go ahead and ask him. He's like, honey, ask him. He leaned over, he said, sir, excuse me, my little friend over here wants to ask you one more question. Wants to know if you love Jesus. And at first the man started to smile, and then a frown came over his face. And he said, you know, in all honesty, I can't say that I do. It's not that I want to, and it's not that I don't want to. It's just, in all honesty, I can't say at this moment that I can do that. I've wanted to be a person of faith in all my life, but I've just come to a time where I never have, but I really need him. As the plane soared and it took off between Atlanta and Dallas, Cunningham got the opportunity not to get any work done, but began to share Jesus Christ and his story with this man who shared about his own brokenness and how his family was falling apart and how his job was just pulling him all over the place, and he didn't know he had it. And all that was from a girl's question. And what Cunningham said is, I can tell you, if God can use a little girl with Down syndrome on a plane to ask and change someone's life if you love Jesus, what could he do if every believer started to grasp the seriousness of being an unstoppable believer in an unstoppable church, that everywhere we went, we began to connect with somebody and use it to further the kingdom of Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing true story. And that's what we have. There are people in tension and people struggling and people who have all kinds of issues. We need to pray. We need to look around and we need to take advantage of all those opportunities that we have in life. So this week I'm going to give you some takeaways. And takeaway number one is, what is one person? Who is the one person I need to focus on? The one person in my life I need to focus on. And I want you to write that down because there's a blank on your sheet. Who is that one person? All right? So that's our first one. We need to be focused. Number two is we need utilization. We need to be flexible. We need to be flexible in life. I want you to look here at what it says in your from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22 from the Message. It says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, look at that right there, and I'm free and have no free of every expectation. How many of you would like to be free from the expectations of others? A lot of times the reason why we don't do things is because we are captured into what other people may think. Am I right? If I say this, if I do that. The Apostle Paul says, I'm free from that in Christ. I don't have to worry about the expectations of anyone else. He said, but I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulously moralist, loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. In other words, we don't share because we have a feeling that others are going to have a difference of opinion, and we don't often see their way of life from their view. We don't engage, as the Apostle Paul said, in their way of life, where he says, I didn't take on their way of life, but by spending time with them, I understand them. And it's not in the mess, it's not we change the message, but sometimes we may change our methods. In case you don't know, the world has changed. The world has changed a lot from the time I was a kid. The world has changed a lot in the last 15 years. It's changed a lot in the last 10 years. And it's changed a lot in the last 2 or 3 years. And one of the things I want to share with you is something. The church now is the visiting team and not the home team. Let me say that again. The church is the visiting team and not the home team. You remember back in the day, and even when I was a child, that it wasn't if you went to church, it was where you went to church for the most part. We talked a little bit about this in Disciple. Now, there were some, but the majority of people had a church family they were connected to. And it's not that way anymore. It's not that way anymore because the church is viewed now as judgmental, boring, and irrelevant. But in the Bible, that's not what we see. People are not wondering now about, is the Bible true? As much as they are, is what is all this have to do with my life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the rest of the week? That's what I want to know. Give me something to relate to my life. And that's one of the things that I've always tried to do. I've always tried to say, here is something here that you can take with you the rest of the week and utilize that. I'm not with you. And that would be a very funny video if every place you were, you had Jack that popped up. Hey, you know, that would be scary, I know. But the church today, one of the main problems is we don't have a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview is where we believe that the Bible is true, and that a non-biblical worldview is that it's true only if I believe it. That the Word of God is truth. And we apply that to whatever situation we have, and we can find Christ in it. They did a recent poll, and 50% of all United States pastors have said they do not have a biblical worldview. And we wonder why the church is in the shape and now the visiting team and not the home team. When we as believers in those leading churches don't take time to go ahead and say, this is how I approach everything in the world through the view and the lens of the Bible and God's Word. And so one of the things I want to share with you is a saying I heard at a church, but I think it's really awesome, and I gave you a place to write it in. In essentials, unity. In essentials, unity. Meaning that there are some things that are just essential to the Christian faith that I believe. That the Bible is the authoritative, inspired Word of God. In other words, it's God-breathed. That Jesus is the only way to God the Father. And that we are all just sinners saved by the grace, the undeserved favor and love of Christ. Those three things are essential to be a Christian church, I believe. If there's anything different from that, I think you need to question whether that is really a Christian church. That the Bible is the inspired, authoritative Word of God. Jesus is the only way to God. And we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And so that is the essentials of the Christian faith, where we need to find unity in. And then, so the first thing is in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. Now, there's some things, in case you don't know, that are in the Bible that are not clear. For instance, but even if they aren't clear, we have very deep feelings about these certain things. And let me give you some examples about this. King James versus NIV or a Message or RSV or NRSV or et cetera, right? We have some of us that are so committed that we got to have King James English, and others that we don't. And so we wrestle with that. Or hymns versus praise and worship. Isn't it awesome? You got a little bit of both of them today. It's like the old story where the country guy went to the city and he came back and he said, somebody said, what did you do? He said, well, I went to church in the city. And he said, yeah, well, what's it like? Is it different than the country? He said, yeah, it's similar, but it's different the way they sing. How do they sing? He said, well, let's say that I was going to sing The Cows Are in the Corn. They sing these things called praise songs. And they say, the cows, the cows, the cows, the cows, the brown cows, the white cows, the spotted cows, the cows, the cows, the cows are in the corn, they're in the corn, they're in the corn, the corn. The cows are in the corn, the corn. That's kind of like a praise song. Well, there was a city guy who at the same time went to a country church. It was a traditional type of church. He came back and he was talking to some people and he said, so what, you went to church? And he said, yeah. He said, what was it like? He said, it was about the same except for the words or the songs that they sing. They call hymns and they're a little bit different. Well, how so? Like, for instance, if I was going to say the cows are in the corn, they would say, oh, thou greatest bovine that wandereth in the valley, we praise thee for thine wonderful gift and thy bounty of maize and corn that thou hast provided. But besides that, it's pretty much different, right? And let me tell you, these things like this, we have, do we need an organ or a worship team? There are some people that believe the reason why Jesus picked Simon Peter as Rocky to carry around the pipe organ in church or to carry around drums. They just worshiped God in spirit. Some of us have issues over baptizing children or they got to be a certain age or, you know, all kinds of things, or whether you own a Haven t-shirt or hat or something, you know, that will get you into heaven. So you have all these kind of things. And let me share with you, these are non-essentials. These are things that we like, but I will tell you, most churches have had church splits on non-essentials. And there's a problem with that. Because non-essentials, when it's not clear, we become God in those situations and decide that this is good and that's not, and we can't do that. So here's what we need to have. We need to have in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And the final thing is, in all things, love. All things love. Love regardless. Because I guarantee you, if I took a poll right now of some of the essentials I made, we've got people in this room on all kinds of different levels. But guess what? Just love one another. Just love one another. Love one another because that's what Christ taught us to do. Love one another. Because I want you to say this along with me, this essentials in unity that's in your bulletin. So say this with me. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. Again, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. If we live that out and believe that, boy, we are moving to an unstoppable church in our world. And I'm going to give you another takeaway here. Takeaway number two. Where is one area that I need to be more flexible in? Utilization. We need to be flexible. Flexible. What is one area I need to be more flexible in? And put that in there. You may be saying to yourself, you know, I have been a little harsh on that one thing, and it's not essential, and I need to work with that. Last thing, mobilization. We must be servants. We must be servants. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. If you have a pen, go ahead and underline, all except the apostles. All except the apostles. Why? Because the world turned upside down because of persecution. And when it turned upside down against persecution, everybody but the professionals were scattered through the earth. And what happened was, when they scattered through the world that was known at that time, they took the gospel with them. They took the Holy Spirit and led them. And so what we see is, the important thing is, for on this day, I'm trying to give you something that you can take with you to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Because you can reach far more than any professional pastor or teacher ever can. In the Old Testament, what we dealt with is the Holy Spirit was above us. There was a separation from God. It was far removed, and people felt far and from God. He wasn't close. In the New Testament, we have God with us. They were told that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That He tabernacled. He was with us. Jesus was with us, and He lived among us. Today, here's the really cool thing. Because of Pentecost, which we celebrated the other week, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, we have God in us. So, Old Testament, God above us, separated, far removed. New Testament, God with us. After the day of Pentecost, God in us. Scripture tells us that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I want to ask you this question. When you come to church, do you come to get something to help you make it through this week? Or do you come to celebrate what Christ has already done through you in that week? I think we need both. But I think often we focus on the first one. Jesus, what can you do to get me through this week? Rather than what He's done throughout this last week to be here. Someone once said, church is like a football game. There are 22 people on the field in desperate need of a rest and thousands in desperate need of exercise. It's very good. You know, you've been to a football game. There's just 22 just going at it. And then there's the rest of people going, oh, come on. Yeah, let me have that beer, you know, right? Let me have that pretzels, right? Just getting fat and happy, but we know it all. And sadly, this happens in church if we are not careful. Where we have so many people that we have the 22 or even less that are working and serving and being and acting and helping make church go. And then we have the multitudes that need exercise. My job as a pastor is to get you ready to play the game. And so here's what I want you to say. I'm going to feel good about myself today. You ready? I want you to say, Pastor, I need you. Ready? All right, not everybody said that. Here we go, one more time. Ready? One, two, three. All right, isn't that good? Because I want to read something about you. You need me whether you like it or not. Look at what it says in Ephesians 4. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be, here we go, here's why you need me, pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. The pastor teacher is me. Who are you? God's people. What am I to prepare you for? God's people for what? Works of service, so that we can build up the body of Christ. And then we become what? Mature, more mature. Unity. I believe we find service does that. Service goes ahead and unites everyone. Have you ever served with anybody on something? It unites you together. So my role is to prepare you. And so you say, Pastor, I need you. Your role is to serve and to take time for works of service. So I'm going to say this to you. I need you. You need me, but I need you. Because I could stand up here and talk to a wall and prepare a wall, but it ain't going to do anything. So I need you to do that. You see, they're all tied together, these three words. Serve, unity, and maturity. And the sad thing is, some Christians prepare to play and never get in the game. They go to Bible studies. They go to prayer group. They go to Bible study. They go to church. They read Christian books. They go to Bible study. They sing songs. They go to Bible study. Over and over again, and they never get in the game and serve and connect. Scripture tells us faith without works is dead. And those Bible studies and things are really, really good. But if we aren't careful, we become educated over our obedience. So we have so much education, we don't even know how to obey God. And before we know it, then we begin to look at, what does this have for me? What does this have for me? When we look to get something, we start to go, what does this have for me? Have for me? When we start to serve, we're like, what can I do for them? And I'm telling you, if you have never served in your life in an atmosphere, whether in the church, we had somebody talk out today about serving with kids. You want to feel younger? Serve with some of them little kids, all right? Serve with some of those teenagers who are at a point now that teenagers are at a point where they aren't going to buy what you say. You're going to have to prove it to them. And you're going to have to live it out. And they will question you about absolutely everything. And so
God may be wanting you to be somebody who's real for them. So many, you can't have a football team that is unstoppable if they practice, and they never get out of the huddle and play the play. You never have a soldier who is ever going to be a soldier unless they take all the training that they've had and put it into action. And you're never going to win as a church if you don't get in the game with service and move on to maturity and all be together. Some level of serving all the way. So here's the takeaway here. The takeaway from this one is, what is one ministry where I need to serve? What is one? Because when I serve, I grow, I mature, and then we have unity. So as I wind down today, what is the unstoppable church? The unstoppable church is one that has this. It's one that has penetration, penetrates and goes everywhere. And how do we do that? We have to be focused. It's one that has utilization where we must be flexible. Remember this? In essentials, what? Unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. And ultimately, we need to be mobilized. We need to get active. We need to make a difference in somebody's life. There's plenty of different roles that you can connect to. And you can go ahead and do that. And we'll be glad to help you with that. So right now, just as the worship team comes up, I just want to ask you to go to prayer right now. Maybe somebody here right now is, and just please stand where you are as we go to our prayer time. Now when we go to our prayer time, I'm gonna be the little girl on the plane. And I'm going to start off by asking you, did you brush your teeth? Yeah. What's my next question? Do you smoke? Some people are like, yeah. Well, it may kill you, according to her. And the last thing I'm going to ask you is the most important question you'll ever ask yourself. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? If you don't know, like that man on the plane, you don't know how to answer that. Now's the time to go ahead and do that. Somebody asks that you bow your heads right now. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness to this church, to Haven Church. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in your believers, for those that are here, those that are online. I want to thank you for the visitors today that, God, you brought here not by mistake, but you just want to touch their hearts and tell them how much you love them. And I just thank you for them being here, and I ask, God, that you just surround them with a love and a presence that you may have never, ever seen, they may have never, ever experienced before. And so, God, I want to ask right now that we just pray. We pray for and look for and take advantage of those avenues that you have for us to share the good news that we call it, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that are those essentials, God, those essentials that we have, that you are the only way to the Father, and that we are sinners saved by grace. God, we love you, and that your word is the authoritative, inspired word of God. And God, I just want to say, you know, forgive me for the times where I've gotten complacent on those things and not made the first thing, so that in the essentials that we may as a church have unity. And in those non-essentials, God, hey, chocolate and vanilla, Baskin Robbins has 31 flavors and somebody wants a different one. Whatever it may be, God, just let us know that those things we can get past as long as we keep all things love. We are the visiting team now, God, and as we go out into this world, which is the home team, where the church is viewed as all kinds of other things, we need you. We need your Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to encourage us. And I just want to pray for someone right now who is like that man on the plane, that they could say yes to the first two questions, or maybe they could say yes to one of them. Hopefully it's the first one. But God, on that second one, when that little girl's voice speaks prophetically in this room or streaming online, when it says, do you love Jesus? That if we're really honest like the man, we start to smile and say, yeah, yeah. But God, we know that there's a lot of brokenness that's in us. A lot of doubt, a lot of fear, a lot of everything, and we don't know how to deal with it. At this time, God, I want whoever's hearing this now to hear this. We want to keep the first thing, and you need to know this, that Jesus came suffered and died on a cross, but 3 days rose from the dead, and he did that all because he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. He's calling your name right now. For those who never know him, but for those who are strayed away from him and it's a disconnect, God, just reach your ever loving arms around them and just hug them. Just hug them and love them. We thank you, Jesus, for you are an awesome God. And I pray that Haven Church will become an unstoppable church with unstoppable believers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As we go to this prayer time, feel free to come up and just pray with someone who's up here, one of our prayer people, our counselors up here. Use it. Don't just stay where you are. We started this with that he's an unstoppable God. We said he's how great. How great is our God. Let him be great for your life in Christ's name.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Sound.
Oh, may I not in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Those words, Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong. I just got a feeling that there's a lot of us who are weak and weary. Am I right? We're just kind of broken. We're like that man. Even though we may know Christ, we're like that man who are just broken. There's a brokenness. So the weak made strong. In what? The love of Christ and Christ's love through the storm. So whatever storms you're going through, just know he's strong enough to calm it. Stop it and give you strength to get through it. The cornerstone, rest and rely in him. Amen. All right, awesome. It's good. Don't let worship stop here. You know, one of the things about worship is fellowship as well. So when the lights come up, don't just boom out the door. See somebody and say, hey, particularly somebody you don't know, somebody you do know, make it good. It's not many times we get to come together as family. And just because we're coming together as family, I'm able to share this next sermon next week. Next week is going to be Unstoppable Idiots. Okay, so if you we're going to talk about being an unstoppable idiot, but more importantly, go in the love of Jesus Christ. That is our strength, and may you love as you never had, and may you be that girl this week and ask somebody if they love Jesus. Have a great week.